people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for tuning in today. My name is JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is Friday the 13th. Is everybody doing okay out there so far? So far here, everything is okay. I put all the ladders away and I haven't seen any black cats or anything like that. So far, so good. Didn't even realize that it was Friday the 13th today. Is that a big, huge occult day for the crazy powers to be? Who knows? We'll wait to see. Anyway, happy that you guys are all here. Really appreciate all of the people already in the chat room today. It's so nice to see you guys in there, some familiar faces. It's just so much fun being here at Truth Frequency with all of you good kids. And we have a lot to talk about today. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a big show today. And because it's Friday the 13th, and because it's Friday, we like to kind of take it out there, do a little bit of goofy stuff on Fridays, have a little bit of fun, and maybe have a few laughs. That's kind of the goal here. But our guest today is going to be super amazing. I'm not lying. His name is Xavient Hayes. He has written several books. His most recent is Aliens in Ancient Egypt. Now, of course, we've had L.A. Marzulli on, and we're going to have him on again. And we've also had Standeo on. So we talked a lot about some of the influence that possibly affected humanity as it's come to fruition over the many, many years. And there's a lot of conjecture about, you know, what actually happened. How did we get here? What has been the succession of rising and fall of civilizations through the past and things like that? And anyway, Xavient, man, he has written an absolutely amazing book. I cannot tell you guys. It's full of color pictures. I mean, this is really, really great. And so he talks about it from the idea that there's all these cultures out there that essentially talk about the same thing, that we've had extraterrestrial influence in terms of technology and in terms of, our learning from them how to do stuff and things like that. And he ties a lot of that together. We're going to talk about the rise and fall of a couple different Egyptian dynasties and how some of the mystery schools kind of came out of those. And it ties into a lot of the same research that David Icke has done, a lot of the same research that Mr. Wilcox has done. It's a really great book. I'm not lying. This is interesting stuff. I wonder all the time how much is still buried under the sand there in Egypt. You know, how much do we really know about what's going on there? Because you can't go excavate anything. You know, there aren't any archaeological digs that are allowed to go on there right now. And you still have, you know, history talks about Hitler running around the Middle East doing all kinds of excavations. We know that they found incredible things in Syria, you know, old Phoenician texts like that, in Syria and in Iraq and also Libya. So it just makes you wonder what some of the ancillary motives are behind all of these global wars that are going on and have been going on for a long time. But anyway, Xavient is going to be joining us in about an hour. Really appreciate him taking some time out to be here today. So I hope you guys will enjoy that. It's been an amazing week of guests, has it not? I mean, really, fundamentally, we've hit some major groundbreaking stuff this week. I hope you guys have really enjoyed it. Can't tell you guys how much I appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten saying that you have enjoyed it too. So anybody out there sending me emails, Susan, Fran, love you guys. Appreciate the listenership and appreciate all the support. I was going to tell you guys all about the guests next week, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just not going to do it. You guys have to go to redpillreports.com and check out the calendar. I'll give you a heads up, though. We're only going uphill from here. I am completely astounded by the efforts that Robert and Fletch put in behind the scenes. These guys get guests. I'm telling you, this is we're going places, ladies and gentlemen, and we're taking you guys with us. So next week is going to be another huge week at Red Pill Report. So I really appreciate you guys tuning in and sticking around, sharing the show with your friends and sharing the website with your friends as well. Okay, how about Let's start off with a laugh this morning. I got to tell you, we're looking at this situation with Venezuela. And, you know, Maduro came out in the news the other day. He's president of Venezuela. Came out in the news the other day saying essentially that they had arrested some infiltrators, some U.S. bred infiltrators who were essentially trying to establish a coup there in Venezuela. And so I got to tell you, this made me laugh so hard. And that's the only reason I'm going to play it this morning is because Jen Psaki, I got to say, I don't know where they found this woman. She really seems like she should be a kindergartner teacher somewhere, and they yanked her out of a classroom. I mean, I don't understand why they allow this woman to go and and talk about things in front of people, because she's absolutely clueless. But anyway, I'm gonna play this clip. This was at the press junket the other day, I think yesterday morning. So this is Jen Psaki, who obviously is, you know, a spokesman for the White House, a spokesperson for the White House. And she's in front of reporters, and the reporters are asking her this question, or asking her to comment on Maduro's accusation of the alleged coup attempt there in Venezuela. And so, the first thing you'll hear is the reporter asking the question, and then you'll hear Jen Psaki's response. But then I want you to listen to the responses of the reporters after that, and then I'll cut this off. But I swear, I heard this, and I about fell off my chair. I was laughing so hard. Let's get this thing going. Again, Jen Psaki.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
That wasn't what I wanted to play. Hang on a second here.
Exposing the hate and exploring the love. This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
That's not me doing that. That's not me doing that, ladies and gentlemen, just so we know here. That wasn't funny at all. I really oversold that, if that's what you guys thought was going to be funny. But we'll try this again here. Hang on a second. Because I really want to play this, because it's absolutely hysterical. Come on, computer, let's do this. All right, we'll upload. Let's go. Modern technology. There's so much time here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Let's see if we get it to work this time. I've got faith. Do you guys have faith? Here we go. Here we go. Let's try it this time. It takes a couple seconds to start, so if it starts, then we'll be happy. We'll
President
be happy.
Maduro
come on, be happy.
Last night went on the air and
okay,
said that they had arrested multiple people who were allegedly behind a coup that was backed by the United States. What is your response?
These latest accusations, like all previous such accusations, are ludicrous. As a matter of longstanding policy, the United States does not support political transitions by non-constitutional means. Political transitions must be democratic, constitutional, peaceful, and legal. We've seen many times that the Venezuelan government tries to distract from its own actions by blaming the United States or other members of the international community for events inside Venezuela. These efforts reflect a lack of seriousness on the part of the Venezuelan government to deal with the grave situation it faces.
The U.S. has a longstanding practice of not promoting, what did you say? How longstanding is that? I would... In particular, in South America.
So how
long-standing
is that?
That is not a long-standing practice.
Well, my point here, Matt, without getting into history, is that we do not support, we have no involvement with, and these are ludicrous accusations.
In this specific case.
Correct.
But if you go back not that long ago, during your lifetime, even. This
the
is
last
not that
21
long
years?
Well done. Touché. But, I mean, does long-standing mean 10 years in this case? I mean,
my intention was to speak to this specific reports.
But you said it's a long-standing U.S. practice, and I'm not so sure. It depends on what your definition of long-standing is.
Okay.
Whatever we say about Ukraine, whatever, the change of government in the beginning of last year was unconstitutional. You supported it.
That was the State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki being questioned by reporters.
Oh, my gosh. I got to be honest. That's the funniest thing. Hang on a second. That has got to be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And I love the reporter's response to that whole thing, which is like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. we have a long-standing policy of what now? Exactly what are you saying? And you could just see, you got to go look at the clip because the clip is absolutely hilarious. But Jen Psaki just hasn't. I mean, how can this woman possibly sleep at night? Granted, she's pretending that she's only 21 years old in this particular clip, which is, you know, great that they're laughing about all of this as it's going on. But you can even hear the other reporter says, you know, okay, say whatever you want about Central and South America, but let's look at Ukraine for just a second. How, and you know, in what way in the world is that, was that a democratic transition? You know, and obviously the United States supported that, and to which she comes back again and says, those allegations are ludicrous. It's just absolutely astounding to me. So just as a recap here, we apparently, the United States is now, I guess, introducing a new policy. It's a transitional policy here, saying that we're not going to be active in Central and South America anymore. I especially like the fact that she's picking on Venezuela right now, given the fact that in 2002 there was the failed coup attempt, which was absolutely supported by the United States, right? We tried to overthrow Hugo Chavez. And, I mean, you could just go – you don't have to go back very far, but Honduras, Haiti, Venezuela, Haiti again, Panama, Bolivia, Grenada, Honduras, Nicaragua, Chile, El Salvador. I mean, the list in Central and South America of U.S. involvement is so, it goes back until the early 1800s. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous that this woman would come on television and say something just that patently absurd. And I don't understand. I mean, how could you possibly, I just feel so bad for people out there that believe what the White House is saying, because this is just, it's so ridiculous to me that they would obfuscate history like that. Anyway, moving on. That was my laugh for the day. I had to mute my microphone because I was just dying listening to Jen Psaki. Just absolutely fantastic. Long-standing policy of non-involvement in Central and South America. Yeah, sure we do. Okay, Benjamin Netanyahu's in the news already here. His re-election prospects looking incredibly grim. As of yesterday, there are fresh polls coming out showing a strong lead for the buoyant left-wing opposition and signs of panic in the Israeli prime minister's own campaign. Here's my question about Mr. Netanyahu and the election going on in Israel. Is it potential that they have the same Diebold machines that we have here? I mean, really, if it's close, wouldn't that be what they want? Because then they could just fudge it over the line. I'm going to go ahead and throw a prediction out right now since we're within a week here and go ahead and say that Netanyahu's probably going to win this. It'll be very close. But I imagine that I just have this sneaking suspicion that the Diebold organization has some sort of relationship with Mossad. I'm just putting that out there because it's just a speculation that I have right now. But anyway, there are new polls coming out inside of Israel showing Netanyahu kind of under the gun right now. And so they're moving into the last 4 days of this race. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there. News out of Iceland right now, coming out late last night. Iceland has apparently dropped its bid to join the EU. The foreign ministry there announced it yesterday. They have made pledges by the country's Eurosceptic government since about 2013, saying that they were potentially going to be dropping the bid again to join the EU. But Iceland now probably realizing who actually is in charge of the EU. Same, you know, old bosses look a lot like the new bosses. And so anyway, they're saying thank you, but no thank you to the EU. And it's kind of been on the ropes for a little while again. They kind of threw some conjecture out there in about 2013 because there was an election won by the centrist Progress Party, which was a conservative independence party. And when that happened, the new prime minister actually froze negotiations again back in 2013. We like Iceland, I'll tell you that, you know, putting all the bankers in jail, getting rid of all the debt. And now they are essentially saying, nah, we kind of like our independence. It's not to say that they're not going to continue to cooperate. They are part of the European Trade Union and Trade Zone area. So it's not necessarily say that the relationship's going to become more frosty than it is right now, but it is to say that they are not interested in joining the EU. And who would be really right now if you're paying attention to the economy and watching the euro going down the spiral of death right now? European Parliament has adopted a resolution urging an international investigation into the death of Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov. The MEPs believe that Nemtsov's death is the most significant political murder in recent Russian history, according to the text of this resolution, which was adopted yesterday. The motion requests an independent international investigation into the murder and suggests that the OSCE or the European Council and the UN all play a role in the probe. And Russian law enforcement authorities have already stated that they would be against any interference into the investigation. So what is going on in Russia with this Nemtsov murder, and why is Russia being so apprehensive about letting international people get involved with the investigation? I wonder, you gotta have to wonder, I'll tell you, Putin, everybody, you know, I know a lot of people are very pro-Putin, and it does look like from a distance here, Putin is doing a lot of things that are pretty substantial, but there was a pretty obscure little economic article, and I'll get to it when we get over into the economic section today, about Putin suggesting the creation of an Eastern European Union and a single currency for the entire union. So I found that kind of interesting because people have always said, you know, we're going to watch the world become unionized. We'll see the Americas unionized. We'll, you know, we've already seen Europe do it. We'll most likely see Africa do it sometime in the next decade. And, you know, we kind of thought the BRICS organization was going to be a response to that or a buffer against that. But now to have Russia come out and suggest, you know, a single currency for a trade union in that area, creating really an East Asian union. I don't know. Is he playing into the same, you know, hands as everyone else? And if he is, then you're going to have to look at this Nemtsov case as, you know, are there potentially false flag fingerprints of Putin's on this? You know, could he have, what wouldn't necessarily have been a false flag if any would have just been taken out his own opposition, but, to rile up the masses, so to speak. I don't know. Okay, here. Moving on from that. But anyway, the EU now calling for an international independent investigation into, Nemtsov's murder. You know, and that's probably the other side of the coin should be looked at there too, is that it's the EU doing it. EU obviously standing pretty strong against Putin with NATO right now. So potentially if they got in charge of the investigation, they could get more news out about, you know, how evil Putin is. So I don't know what, you know, it's hard to say what's going on. We get these two sides of the same story. A spy from an intelligence agency. He might have been British. We don't know. But he was supporting the U.S.-led coalition fighting the Islamic State, has now been arrested in Turkey on suspicion of helping the three British schoolgirls travel to Syria to join the jihadist group. Turkish foreign minister did not disclose the nationality of the intelligence agent, but said he was not from the United States or an EU country or a citizen of the nation that he is working for. So anyway, these three girls are believed to be in the Islamic State-controlled territory after disappearing from the UK last month, and this agent now has been detained and arrested because he essentially helped these girls get from Gatwick all the way to Turkey, and now they are essentially being held hostage by the ISIS organization, and it looks like they are being held a spy from some intelligence agency got these girls over into ISIS's hands, and they've now been arrested by Turkey. Are we using our intelligence operatives to drum up humanitarian crises around the world? I don't know. Seems like par for the course, does it not? Does it not? And U.S.-led coalition also announced some more airstrikes against the Islamic State militants in Iraq and two in Syria since Tuesday of this week. So there were 13 total since Tuesday. Five of the strikes in Iraq were centered around the Islamic State-held city of Mosul. So you can see they've moved past Tikrit and are moving on to Mosul now. And three each were aimed near Fallujah and Al-Qayyim, destroying buildings, vehicles, and artillery. According to the Combined Joint Task Force in a statement yesterday, the Syrian strikes destroyed two Islamic State vehicles near Kobani and hit multiple oil pump jackets near Al-Hasaka, according to, again, that statement from the Combined Joint Task Force. So moving forward in Iraq, that's a good thing, in my opinion. Also, some more news out of Iraq. I thought this was fairly interesting. The Iraqi Minister for the Reconstruction and Housing, his name is Tariq Kikani. He's now urging Iranian firms to play a larger role in the country's restructuring, for which Baghdad aims to spend $400 billion. So, according to Press TV, Iran is currently a key ally of Iraq in the region, where bilateral ties have seen a complete turnaround from sworn enemies under the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, which obviously we've talked a little bit about this. Iran with pivotal, you know, involvement in the clearing out of Tikrit over the last week and a half. And a lot of people out there saying, well, Netanyahu specifically came on the news, said this is an example of Iran trying to take over the region. And people in Iraq were like, yeah, we're actually trying to get their business and trying to turn this whole relationship in the Middle East around. So if you could stop meddling, that would be fantastic. But again, Iraq throwing open the doors for international trade and trying to get some more international businesses to come in and invest there. So is it as bad as we think it is there? I don't know. Remains to be seen, I suppose. Also, more news from Iran and also including Russia. Moscow and Tehran now have signed a military cooperation deal that implies wider collaboration in personal training and counterterrorism activities. It may also resolve the situation concerning the delivery of Russian S-300 missiles, according to Iranian media. The Russian Defense Ministry said his Iranian counterpart, who's General Hossein Degan, he signed a document during a visit by Russia's top brass to Iran's capital on Tuesday. Under the new agreement, the broadened cooperation will include military personnel training exchanges, increased counterterrorism cooperation, and enhanced capabilities for both countries, navies, to use each other's ports more frequently, etc. According to the Iranian news agency Fars, the two sides have also resolved problems concerning the delivery of Russia's S-300 missile systems to Iran. However, Moscow has yet to make an official comment regarding the defense system. So they're kind of in a pickle right now because the $800 million contract to deliver these S-300 air defense missiles to Iran was canceled in 2010 by then Russian President Medvedev to fall in line with UN sanctions imposed upon Iran because of its disputed nuclear program. But now Tehran has filed a currently pending $4 billion lawsuit against Russia to Geneva's arbitration court. So hopefully they're going to just sidestep all this arbitration and things like that. And apparently, according to Iran, that's exactly what's going to be going on right now. They don't give a lot of details, but again, they say the two countries have decided to settle the S-300 issue. So now we're going to have Russia in strict military accordance with Iran. Obviously, man, this is a big deal. This is a big deal because Iran right now under sanctions from the United States. It's a pretty important trade partner if Russia is able to get it. And also, it just puts a lot more leverage against Israel right now, this bolstered Russian support. So I think that's important to point that out. Let's see here what else is going on. What else should we talk about? Well, we got some bad news for the UK kids over there listening right now. A parliamentary report examining the mass collection of private communications by the UK security agencies has defended the practice as essential. So, again, the Intelligence and Security Committee published a report just yesterday, said only a tiny portion of data collected was ever seen by human eyes. Of course, we're talking about the vacuuming up of all telecommunications inside of the UK to the, what is it, the HQGQ, whatever it is, your NSA people, you know what I'm talking about. So intelligence agencies, according to them, do not seek to circumvent the law and must seek specific authorization of a cabinet minister before spying on individuals in the UK. But really what they say is that it's only a tiny portion, and it's important to understand that that tiny portion still amounts to, and this is what the report said, amounts to around redacted 1,000 items a day. So that, again, the tiny proportion that they are alluding to in this report amounts to, according to the report, around redacted 1,000 items a day. So, again, I don't know what they mean by redacted, but I assume it's a fairly large number. So they're soaking up all your stuff. But don't worry, because the ministerial people there say, of course, it's essential. It's essential for your safety, ladies and gentlemen, so that they can read all of your things. Oh, that's a good point. Truth brings up a good point. We were talking about the assassination of Nepsev and wanted to bring up the fact, let's not forget the murder of Litvinenko by polonium poisoning. That's a good call. That's a good call. There's a lot of fishy stuff that goes on in Russia, and you just have to wonder who's paying for all of it, because I just, you know, I don't know. Bets are off these days. Okay, let's move away from the international stuff right now and get into some national news. Obviously, the situation in Ferguson still unfolding as far as that goes right now. The shooting, we talked about this the other day. There have not been an arrest. The gentleman who is working still as the chief of police there, John Belmer, up until I think his last day is the 19th of March when he'll step down. But he came on TV again describing it as an ambush last night. I got in a pretty heated discussion with myself last night about this because there were some responses on Facebook that just really bummed me out. People saying, you know, I hope these cop shooters die and blah, blah, blah. And I get that. I understand it's a cowardly act to do some sort of ambush activity against police officers, but I really couldn't get my head around I suggested that it could have been, an alphabet agency or another police officer perhaps. And everybody got on my case and it's just like, okay, we got to go back and look at Oakland where the two undercover officers were kind of flushed out by protesters and ended up pulling a gun on the protesters. So the idea that they don't, don't hide law enforcement officers amongst protesters is crazy, first of all. And if you look at what's going on in Ferguson right now, you know, and I outlined this yesterday, but they have had three major wins in the last week, right? So if you're a protester in Ferguson right now and you're seeing all the municipal court cases canceled and put in front of a state judge for a week, that's a pretty big win, right? That's obviously they've heard your complaint about revenue generation through the court systems against, disproportionately against African Americans there. So that's a win. You've also got the mayor essentially firing the chief of police. So that's obviously a huge win. You've got the city manager stepping down. That's another ginormous win. And then you've got Eric Holder, who's perhaps the most inept attorney general in the history of justice, actually coming out and saying that if he has to do it by himself, he'll dismantle the Ferguson Police Department. Those are big wins. So who in their right mind, and I'm not saying the protesters that shot the cops could potentially have been in their right minds, but who in their right minds, looking at everything that's gone on there in the last, 36, 72 hours, would be upset enough to shoot at a cop? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Who benefits by keeping the turmoil going in Ferguson is the question. Who benefits? It's always the question, really, fundamentally. And I don't think it's the protesters. It doesn't make sense to me that they would do something like that. So I think more is going to come out on this story later. I'm hoping more is going to come out on this story later. Oh my gosh, we're out of time. Got to go to a 3-minute break, guys. We got more news when we come back. And then Xavier Hayes could be joining us. We're talking about aliens in ancient Egypt. Man, this is going to be fascinating stuff. Really appreciate you guys being here today. 3-minute break, guys. We're going to be right back. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Having everything go your way. Chris and Ciriccio. Saturdays and Sundays. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break, and thank you guys for hanging out in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Love the fact that we have a chat room, guys, man. It's my favorite part of the format here at Truth Frequency, just being able to interact with you guys. It's so nice to have you guys all joining us every day and sharing the show with your friends and family. It's starting to take hold, ladies and gentlemen. We're starting to get a little brush fire built here, and can't thank you guys enough. Okay, so we were talking a little bit before the break about this Ferguson situation, and just want to let everybody know the two officers were treated and released from the hospital as of yesterday. They said a manhunt is still underway for these suspects. I'm going to retract my statement about a rifle. I went back and listened to the shooting yesterday, obviously a handgun, because of the frequency at which the shots rang out. Would have been very difficult. Would have been what's that guy's name that shot Kennedy from the bell tower there? You would have had to have skills like that to reload a rifle as quick as these guys would have had to have done it. But anyway, still a manhunt going on in Ferguson right now. Again, I think this was a blatant false flag event. That's just my opinion. What do you guys think? I don't know. But, again, Eric Holder came out, said it was inexcusable and repugnant. He's saying, such senseless acts of violence threaten the very reforms that nonviolent protesters in Ferguson and around the country have been working towards. So, of course, you can see how that shooting would forward the agenda of divide and conquer. And for all the people out there who are saying, you know, screw the guy who shot him and blah, 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 and people who are not asking the question, how do we eliminate violence from our environment, are asking all the wrong questions right now, because this is another opportunity that we've been blessed with here, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, to ask the question, is this what we want from law enforcement? And we have to take the understanding that law enforcement, municipal law enforcement, is doing exactly what their mandate says they're supposed to do. It is not right of us to say these guys are acting inappropriately, because that's not historically accurate. Most municipal law enforcement officers are hired by municipalities, states, your counties, your cities. They are all corporations. The history of law enforcement is such that these people were hired to protect corporate infrastructure. That is what they are doing now. That is why they take an oath to the corporation known as the state or the city or the county or whatever it is. That's why they do that. So you have to understand that by saying, you know, these guys are doing things incorrectly or whatever, we're not picking on the right point here. The point is, do we need poorly trained, very well armed people out gathering revenue for a municipality? Is that the kind of civilization that we want to have? You know, we need to be having a broader discussion and say, is this what we want from law enforcement? Does this make our environment more or less violent? I mean, it's not a really difficult question to ask when you've got people out there who are armed, forcing people into contract to generate revenue. That is a problem. It's the same problem as promoting violence in youth by using popular music against them, or by using poor education against them. That's the same. It's the same agenda. It's the other side of the same coin. So we need to understand first the environment and then ask the appropriate questions. This is not a time to be saying, you know, screw these guys who shot the cops. They're evil, bad people. We need to say, what is leading to the violence in our communities, and what can we do about it? What is leading to the causality? What is the causality of this violence? That's where I would go with all of this. And I hope that, I hope we're trying to do that here. You know, we bring Dale Brown onto the show and we talk about actual real solutions to this issue right now. And, they're out there. We have solutions right now. They're just not being, put in place. And at the same time, we're still seeing the turmoil coming down. We're still seeing the unrest and, you know, the further division and the further conquering of the people there. So, we're not moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, we're all adults. We all have to live here, and we all have the opportunity now to ask the right questions. And that's, I guess that's just what I'm trying to get to. So I'll get off that soapbox for a second. There was a pretty important poll that came out from Gallup yesterday, and, was interesting because they were asking people to, they basically said, what do you think is the most important problem facing this country today? And surprisingly, the majority of people answered government. That was the number one answer, not the economy, not unemployment, not terrorism, government. Government is the problem right now. So again, 18%, and that is the, that's the number one response. The next largest response was 11% with economy. So, the government itself is, according to the American people, the biggest problem that we face right now. And I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that, because it's a corporate criminal government. It does not have any actual authority. It is a corporate criminal state. It does not represent us anymore. So really, you know, fundamentally, there's going to become a time here soon, and I'm hoping that we're going to be a part of this movement, where eventually the consciousness overall is just going to shift. People are just going to wake up and recognize that we owe these people nothing, that the debts that they've created are not our problems, that your labor does not belong to the IRS, that none of this is real. It's all fraud. And as soon as enough people finally realize that and just say, okay, enough is enough, the entire system will just collapse. It will absolutely collapse. Without the velocity of money, these people can't continue to rape, rob, and murder all of us. So the more people that we can get convinced that something is wrong. I mean, most people already understand something is wrong. Even people who've never really looked into any of these topics, you know, there's an inkling. There's an inkling in your soul that you know that this is not what we're here to do. This is not how this society is supposed to be run. And we're going to talk with Xavier Hayes in about 25 minutes about the golden age. And, you know, people, I think, really are under the impression right now that we're about as far along technologically as we could possibly be. And possibly that's true in terms of, you know, DARPA and some of the you know, behind the scenes black movements and things like that. But in terms of what we have here on the planet, you know, generally speaking in society, we are in a dark ages right now. And that's not really conjecture. But there was so much technology in ancient Egypt. I learned from reading Xavier's book yesterday. It's just pretty astounding to think how far we've actually come away from a place of enlightenment. And so I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. But again, I don't remember where I was going with all of that. I totally got sidetracked because I'm excited about this show. Okay, let's talk a little bit, too, about a little snafu that happened earlier this week. Homeland Security Department right now, this is great, investigating two senior Secret Service agents accused of crashing a car into a White House security barrier, according to an agency spokesperson there. So Secret Service spokesman Robert Hoback said Wednesday that recently appointed director Joseph Clancy, remember Joseph Clancy, he's been briefed on this March 4th incident, and Clancy has asked the Homeland Security Inspector General's office to investigate. Hoback didn't provide any additional details, but the agency said the two agents have been reassigned to non-supervisory, non-operational roles. The Washington Post first reported the investigation Wednesday afternoon, and the newspaper reported that the agents drove a government car into a security barrier near the White House after a night of heavy drinking. So, okay, we've got two Secret Service agents Okay, let's just go on for just a quick second here. The Post also reported that one of the agents involved is Mark Connolly, who is the second in command of President Barack Obama's security detail. All right. The other agent is George Ogilvy, and he is a senior supervisor in the Washington's field office. So here's what we know for sure, is that these guys were drunk, and they're driving around in a government vehicle, and of course, again, second in command of President Barack Obama's security detail, drunk driving, crashing into a security gate outside of the White House, right? And what is the punishment? Well, they've been reassigned to non-supervisory, non-operational roles, okay? Which means they didn't get fired, right? There's barely even a reprimand. They're probably still getting paid. And, I was pretty sure that if you were driving around drunk and hit something, you'd be arrested for that. I thought that was like an arrestable offense, especially if you actually damage property, because that's one of those things that, the law does actually, apply to when you're drunk driving. I'm not anti-drunk driving. If you can get home, hey, that's your business. You know, I don't think you've committed a crime until you've hurt a person or their property. But apparently they hurt state property in this particular instance, and, they should be charged as such. But no, they're, just been put on some other, non-operational duty, probably, paid vacation, something like that. It's a good job if you can get it, apparently. So there was a report that came out from Fox 31 Denver. The reporter there, Chris Halsney, confirmed that there was a hidden camera and recorder operating at the post office there in Denver. Okay, and within an hour of this report going up, again, discovering this hidden camera, the hidden camera was yanked out of the ground and taken away. And this was in front of the Golden Post Office. And again, that device ripped out of the ground and disappeared. But the recording device appeared to be tripped by any vehicle leaving the property on Johnson Road there. But the lens was not positioned to capture the image of the front door, the employee entrance, or the loading dock areas of the post office. An alert customer first noticed the data collection device hidden inside a utilities box around Thanksgiving 2014. And it stayed in place, taking photos through the busy Christmas holidays and into mid-January. Managers inside the post office told Fox 31 in Denver that they were unaware the customers were being photographed outside and the surveillance was not part of the building's security monitoring. But a spokesman for the Postal Inspection Service, he came out and declined to address specific reasons for domestic surveillance, but did admit that the agency has a number of cameras at their disposal. I'm sure a lot of you guys may know, may not know, but they do photograph every single piece of mail that goes through the mail system in the country. Why are they photographing people who are dropping off mail? Because what they're attempting to do is to create joinder. There are so many people out there who understand now that they are actually agents of a corporation and they write letters as such. And if you're writing letters as such, you have to address your envelopes in certain ways. And it's probably pretty relevant to the people who are running the post office right now because, most of them are operating under fraud at this point, and we can get into that. I'm sure if you guys are hanging out after my show to Roger Zales' show, you'll learn a whole bunch more about this as well. But, if you are operating as a sovereign out there or as somebody who understands your place in the government and sending letters as such, well, they're definitely going to want to know who you are, and that's one of the ways that they track you. So, according to Fox 31, Denver had one of these surveillance cameras outside of their post office there for the last few months, taking pictures of all kinds of people. Good stuff. Happy to be part of the team here. Cities like New York, it's a great report that's broken from True Stream Media. Those guys, Aaron and Mel, they also have a show, I believe, on Friday afternoons here on Truth Frequency Radio. Really good stuff. But they have broken a report coming out of New York talking about a new bill which is being introduced in New York to regulate idle cars, okay? So people who say in the wintertime you want to go out and start your car because it's cold outside, you want it to heat up, they're trying to make that illegal in New York. And Helen Rosenthal says it's a real environmental problem and a real public health problem that contributes to pollution, death, and is little enforced. Okay, so this new bill from Rosenthal is supposed to increase fines for idling your vehicle from $1,500 for the first offense up to $2,000 for a second offense, and also offering a cut of this fee to residents who snitch or record video of offending vehicles and turn in their idling neighbors. This is real. So again, this is coming from RT now. The council members, of course, still need to garner support for of their colleagues for this bill. if it's going to have a chance of becoming law. But if approved, it would offer residents up to 50% of the fine if they catch someone breaking the city's idling law on tape and submit the footage to the Department of Environmental Protection. And additionally, the bill would keep first-time idling violations punishable by just a warning, but increase penalties for follow-up offenses. Second-timers would risk paying upwards of $1,500, and subsequent violations within a two-year span would carry fines up to $2,000. Unbelievable. And so what are they trying to do? They're basically trying to entice New Yorkers to snitch on one another. And got a lot of friends who ride the motorcycles, and they would want me to say the following. Snitches get stitches, ladies and gentlemen, and take that to the bank. I don't think promoting or incentivizing New Yorkers to snitch on one another for idling their cars makes a whole lot of sense, but when you put a price tag on it in the $1,000 to $1,500 range, again, you're going to turn neighbor against neighbor. What's going to happen as a result of that? I don't know. A little bit of news coming out of Michigan right now. After getting authorization from the FAA, the Michigan State Police now represent the very first law enforcement agency in the United States that can use drones in every corner of the state. Police officers, again, can now deploy surveillance drones to assist with operations at a scene of major accidents and other crimes. The state police earned the approval February 25th after the FAA officials visited Michigan earlier this month to review the program and its safety procedures. So, again, Michigan now the first state that can use drones from corner to corner. They're saying ostensibly that they want to use it for search and rescue operations and things like that, but they do make a good point to mention the fact that it could also be used for surveillance. So there you go. I mean, if you're in Michigan right now, the option for the police to surveil you via drone, completely on the table at this point, completely on the table. Oh, man, fake IRS agents have targeted more than 366,000 people with harassing phone calls demanding payments and threatening jail as part of a huge nationwide tax scam that has cost taxpayers $15.5 million. More than 3,000 people have fallen for the ruse since 2013, according to a Treasury deputy inspector for tax administration. He said this yesterday. The scam has claimed victims in almost every state, and one unidentified victim lost more than $500,000. So just cutting to the chase here right now, if somebody calls you unexpectedly claiming to be with the IRS with aggressive threats and if you do not pay immediately, that's obviously a scam artist. This is a spokesman from the IRS saying that they do not initiate contact with taxpayers by telephone. If you do owe money to the IRS, the chances are pretty good that you've already received some form of notice or correspondence from the IRS in your mailbox. So if you get a phone call from somebody claiming to be from the IRS saying that they're going to garnish your wages and do all kinds of things like that, big old red flag. One of the key components also of the scam is that they request people pay. Wow, really? Truth says he's had two of those calls in the last 2 weeks. That's crazy. Don't send them anything. One of the other big red flags and components of this scam is that they request that people get prepaid Visa cards to send the money on, and those are much more difficult to trace than a standard bank Visa card. So again, that would be a very another really substantial red flag. So just bear all that in mind. Okay, let's jump over to the economy right now. Obviously, the happy days are here again. Everything's fun. Everything's fundamentally fantastic in the world, except for the Earth. Gold. Let's start with their little commodity action here. Gold is pretty flat in trading today. It's up, but just barely, 11.52 for gold. Silver down just barely. So again, pretty much flat across the precious metals right now. $15.50, which is a great price for silver, I'll tell you. And if you're paying attention to the dollar index, unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. We have broken through 100. We are at 116 right now, which is more than a 1% increase on the day. And we are flirting with a 104 euro right now. We are at 105.02. We are down 1.26% on the euro right now. Fletch and I and Robert have just been sitting here watching the euro tick down and watching the dollar index tick up, and really mostly just asking, you know, each of us, what in the heck is going on? Because it's really difficult to say. Also, the Dow down right now, currently 250 points, about 1.42%. S&P following down also about 1% with 22 points dropped. Truth is hitting us up in the chat room right now with the BDI index sitting at 562, up by 2 points right now. So we are at least seeing a little bit more of an increase in shipping across the world. But I'll tell you what, this dollar index getting up to 114 and also in conjunction with the euro sliding the way it is, you know, Deutsche Bank came out and said they saw parity happening by the end of 2015. I'm wondering if we're going to see parity by the end of March. I mean, we're like, this is insane. You're talking about a percent point a day. If it happens, if that keeps going, you know, into next week, we'll be there by Wednesday. You know, that's just absolutely insane to me. Okay. So that's what's going on in the larger picture on the economy right now. Again, we had the Baltic dry up a little bit today, 2 points. Retail numbers right now crumbling across the planet. But earlier today, Zero Hedge warned readers that based on actual credit card spending data, today's retail sales data would continue the worst trend since Lehman. And wouldn't you know it, they were absolutely correct. Late last night, Commerce Department of Commerce Bank reported that in February, retail sales missed once again and missed big, and they missed big across the board. And this is the third big miss in a row, with the headline print coming in at negative 0.6%, which was very far below the 0.3% it was expected, and in line with the 0.8% drop last month. So if you're putting this in perspective, we're down almost a whole percent in December, down an additional almost whole percent in January, and February looks like down 0.6%. So surely right now is a great time for the Fed to go ahead and hike those interest rates, right? And with that, the worst run in retail sales since Lehman is now officially in the record books. So we'll have to wait and see what Yellen's rate hike reaction function response is to the data. But I imagine that we'll see the rate hike being potentially kicked around a little bit, maybe even move forward a little. The Greek government yesterday, and some also interesting economic news, went ahead and signed a bill that will enable them to plunder the Greek people's pension funds, just as if we didn't see that coming. But again, Bloomberg pointing out the cash reserves of pension funds and other public entities kept in the Bank of Greece deposit accounts can now be fully invested in Greek sovereign bonds. Can you say bail in, ladies and gentlemen? The only question I've got is how angry are people in Athens going to be when they understand now that not only is there going to be ginormous austerity measures that are going to come down with any kind of IMF bailout, but now that their pension funds are completely screwed. Okay, also, big news coming out of Moscow. We've been really following the de-dollarization of the world here going forward. We're going back for about a year now. A lot of stuff with the BRICS stuff, a lot of stuff with Russia developing this alternative to the SWIFT system. But now this report breaking here, Moscow trading in ruble yuan futures will begin March 17th. That's Monday, with a pair of currencies expected to become the third most popular by volume, says Moscow Exchange Deputy Chairman Andrei Shemetov. The number of tools that allow bidders to hedge their currency risks is not currently enough. So that's why the Moscow Exchange offered to introduce a new hedging instrument as quickly as possible, futures on the yuan ruble currency pair. And they go on to say that they hope in the near future this tool will take the third position on the futures market and will allow producers to hedge their currency risks and increase the trade turnover between Russia and China. He said adding that in the spot market, ruble yuan currency pair is already the third most popular in terms of volume. The circulation of the Chinese currency has already increased 10 times, according to Shemetov. So the Moscow Exchange hopes the futures will be liquid enough so that manufacturers and suppliers could increase the trade turnover between China and Russia. Despite $90 billion in trade between the two countries, settlements and national currencies account for just 10%. So what they're hoping to do is to increase the amount of national settlements in their national currencies to a number, much larger than 10%. So again, October of 2014, the Moscow Exchange and the Bank of China signed a cooperation agreement that expanded mutual settlements in national securities, and the step was made to reduce dependence on the U.S. dollar in bilateral trade and to move away from Western financial dominance. And again, we had the story earlier this week about China essentially promoting now the Chinese renminbi or the yuan as the next global currency. And they've got billboards up in all the major cities around Southeast Asia And I think that that's pretty substantial. I also mentioned this a little while ago here. This is a live leak that just broke last night, but Russia now is exploring the creation of a single currency across the Moscow-led Eurasian Union trade bloc of ex-Soviet states, according to an order published on the Kremlin's website just yesterday. So this move comes as relations between union members Russia, Belarus, Armenia, and Kazakhstan are strained for tit-for-tat sanctions between Moscow and the West over Ukraine and a Russian recession. So you can see what's happening here is that Russia is essentially going to bring all these people back into the fold, at least in an economic sense, because they're having a lot of difficulty doing trade with their partners that they would normally be doing trade with because of all of these exterior sanctions. We can also see how the BRICS organization is going to lead to a skirting of these sanctions. And, I mean, think about all of the articles that we've had today. We've had them talking about military cooperation with Iran. We know for a fact that that's going to go forward and that they're going to probably do some trading with that area, certainly in oil, things like that. So Russia seems to be behind the scenes here, still skirting or still trying to get away from the U.S. sanctions and really trying to build a future for the people over there that has got way less leverage involved. And but again, you still have to kind of stop and wonder as they start talking about creating Eurasian unions. You know, was that part of the plan in terms of getting us moving towards a one world government? You know, we creating all of these larger union blocks and then seeing Russia coming out and saying something like that kind of got my red flags up there for a second. But just, you know, putting it out. Also, oil minister Abdel Mahdi stated that Iraq's crude oil exports will reach 3 million barrels a day by the end of this month. So it points out now that the dependence on the weather in the Gulf and the export of Kurdistan region, according to crude amounts agreed upon with the federal government. So again, Iraq putting out some oil here, and they're looking at putting out 3 million barrels a month. I wanted to touch on this story as well. I don't know here. Calling it a major breakthrough that will significantly expedite and streamline its daily operations, Wall Street financial firm Goldman Sachs revealed Thursday it has now developed a new high-speed algorithm that is capable of performing more than 10,000 ethical violations per second. They say with this new automated program, we'll be able to systematically deceive investors, engage in conflicts of interest, and execute thousands of other blatantly unethical dealings in the time it would take to press a button. This was John Waldron talking yesterday, the co-head of Goldman Sachs. He also says the high-frequency, improprietary system will be able to break more rules in 1 minute than an entire floor of morally suspect security traders, financial analysts, and portfolio managers could over the course of a week. In the past, if one of our brokers wanted to exploit a questionably legal regulatory loophole or breach the covenant of good faith with an investment client, that would require hours of manually contravening the basic principles of professional integrity. But this new innovative system will allow millions of such transgressions to go through every single day. Going forward, I expect this revolutionary program to become the cornerstone of our business. And upon learning that the advanced new unethical algorithm, investors initiated a buying frenzy on Goldman Sachs stock, sending the share prices surging more than 30%. Okay, that was an Onion article, but is it fake? I mean, really, fundamentally, is it not true? Because it sounds like that could have been totally true. Okay, we're going to a break, guy. 3 minute break, and we come back. We're going to have Xavier Hayes on the show. Can't wait to talk to him. Ancient aliens in Egypt, guys. It's going to be good stuff. Keep it right here. We'll be back in 3 minutes, guys.
Chris and Cherie Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Mama. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the radio show. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I'm having a little trouble getting a hold of Xavian right now, so just bear with me here, guys, as I'm going to kind of go through that. But I do see that we've got a caller on the line, and I'm going to go up and take this call just because right now I'm having a little trouble getting a hold of Xavian. So hang on just 1 second. I want to take a call from a listener here, and give me 1 second. Hello, is this I got a caller from North Carolina. Is this Fran?
Actually, it is. JD, oh my gosh.
How are you doing today?
Oh, not too shabby for a Friday, let alone being the 13th, so that's kind of eerie.
It is a little, yeah.
I'm looking forward to your guests coming up soon. However, I got a couple points for you otherwise.
Okay.
When you mentioned about Eric Holder and all that fiasco and whatever, the faux op or whatever, he is no more concerned about what goes on in Ferguson than he is about actually holding international bankers on Wall Street accountable, saying that they are basically above the law and too big to, you know, fail or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a barf story. As of your this past Wednesday's guest that you had, I tell you what, she was jamming.
Oh,
absolutely jamming.
Unbelievable. Rebecca Roth, have you gotten that book yet, Fran? I'll tell you what, it is absolutely amazing.
Not yet. What I do find fascinating is that I did some research regarding that the Pentagon hit, for that matter.
Right.
And I find one thing curious, is that the building itself is like 77 feet plus tall and some inches. And yet the inside, on the inside of the 747 is 20 feet across, let alone 6 inches of structural, building around that plane, say another foot or two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to like maybe what, 20, 21, 22 feet altogether in diameter. Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly how big of a diameter a missile is, but would that type of plane actually make that kind of a hole?
Oh, well, I mean,
that's a big.
No, I mean, if you just go do a start page search for, you have to understand that the nose of these aircraft is made out of composite plastic, right? The entire nose apparatus, if you hit that thing with a bird, it's going to look like you hit it with a sledgehammer. There's no way that a plastic and aluminum plane is going to go through the Pentagon. I mean, you got to think, too. You're talking about a descending 270-degree corkscrew at nearly Mach 1, which, just according to the laws of physics, would have ripped the wings off the planes, because you can't get air, you know, at the density of air at that level, you can't get that much air volume through the engines. They would have ripped off. And then where are the engines?
Exactly.
You got two titanium Rolls-Royce engines that are somehow vaporized in jet fuel. You know, if you're goofy enough out there to believe that jet fuel might be able to melt steel, you know, we could have a debate about that. But if you want to try and tell me that jet fuel and carpet and paper burning is going to melt two titanium Rolls-Royce engines, we're going to just have to agree to disagree, because that is the most ludicrous thing. And then they want to tell you that a guy who couldn't handle a Cessna pulled off this amazing – I mean, you couldn't – there's just no physical way that a plane could have done that. Now, whether or not a missile could have done that, I'm not sure. I think they I think it could have been a drone or, you know, an initial one. You know, I mean, back in 2001, all of the technology was still pretty new, even with the drones. We're only talking about maybe a year after Raytheon really introduced its technology to fly airlines, you know, remote control.
There you go.
So, you know, was it a missile? I think it was probably a missile. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. And, you know.
It does. It does, because, quite frankly, where is the if this is a passenger plane that was hijacked, mm-hmm. supposedly, where is the luggage at? I mean, the wings, at one point I heard that the wings had folded back upon impact. That's a lot of horse hockey.
Yeah.
Because the wings are too wide on a plane like that. Of course, it's been like 2 years plus since I've flown, but that's beside the point.
Right.
And that, you're going to have matter all over the place, not to mention human body parts.
About luggage.
On the ground.
You know, about luggage.
As well as, you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, so that, that little video snippet they present, to people, and it's so grainy, as it were, about supposedly the plane hitting the side of the Pentagon.
Right.
And a big ball of fire going up. I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
That, I mean, it was just too clean.
Right.
To start off with. And very little debris. And so that's a complete joke.
Yeah, I agree. I think just about every aspect of it. But that's the most important aspect of 9/11, is that it's such a key component to waking people up, you know, because there are so many questions. You could take any little incident from 9/11 and just start asking very sensible questions, and the entire thing just falls apart. Fran, I hate to cut you off, but I'm getting notice now
that my guest
is ready to go, and I know everybody's really looking forward to hearing from Xavient. So
excellent.
I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to go hop over to the guest. So just bear with me out there, ladies and gentlemen. Fran, thank you again for calling in today.
Have a great one. Thanks.
Thank you for being a listener. Appreciate you very much out there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just give me 2 seconds here, and we're going to go ahead and we will get Xavient on the program. I'm going to disappear for 1 second. So just bear with me here, guys. Well, kids, we are trying our best to get him on, but I'm not able to get him to answer the phone right now. So I'm just going to keep kind of bouncing back and forth here while we try. I really apologize, guys. I know it's a pain in the butt sometimes to have technology not working as well as we would like it to. But that's just kind of the name of the game sometimes. So we're trying to reach out to Xavient and hope he can hear us. But it doesn't look like that's happening right now. Not sure what to tell you guys. I guess we will keep the phone lines open. If anybody else would like to call in and have a discussion, we could also – hang on a second here. I'm going to do one quick thing. Three, two, three. We'll see if we can go the other route. And if Xavient is out there, maybe he could call in to the line at 866-37-TRUTH. You guys out there can call in as well. We'll keep the phone lines open for just one more second here. 866-378-7884. And if Xavient is out there and can hear us, if he could call in, that would make this really work, because I am not able to get through on his phone right now for some reason. So anyway, what else is going on? We were talking. I really do want to recommend getting that book, Methodical Illusion. You can go to methodicalillusion.com. That was the book that we were talking about with Rebecca Roth on Wednesday. And I got to tell you again, some of the information in that book, you know, we didn't go over everything on the phone or on the show the other day, because there's still information that is coming out. She has got in her possession some very, very amazing FOIA stuff from the FAA, and is getting ready to break even more of this story. But I love talking about 9/11, because again, you know, most people, if you ask them, most people who are kind of aware and enlightened out there, when you ask them what was the event that really woke them up, just about everybody is going to respond with 9/11. 9/11 or Kennedy really are the two big ones that I think everybody kind of focuses on. And 9/11 was just such a blatant, ridiculous story, from just top to bottom, fundamental building 7, the idea that these two buildings would fall in perfect symmetry into their own footprints. I mean, this is just stuff that never happens in reality. And a lot of us wonder if the planes that were supposedly hitting the towers actually hit the towers. And some of the video out there makes me not believe that. And that's why I like all of Rebecca's stuff so much, because she really has the answer, not just, you know, she's not just putting forth more questions about where these planes might have been and where these phone calls might have originated from. In the book, she names the base. She names the base, and she's had corroboration from people who were at that base who remember 9/11, and the base was shut down for 3 days. Again, about 20 minutes outside of Boston. You guys can do your own research, but again, if you get Methodical Illusion, you will find out there. So, awesome. Looks like we're trying to do our best to get Xavient to call into the call board. That way we can get it done, and it looks like we do have another phone call on. Xavient, is that you, my friend?
Yes, it is.
Oh, very good, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm not sure what was going on. Having some technical difficulties getting through to your phone today. I'm going to turn your volume up here real quick, ladies and gentlemen, and then just bear with me, guys. We're going to... Xavient, will you just say hello to the people out there for just a second? Okay. I think we got your volume up. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, let me just say how excited I am to be bringing Xavient Hayes onto the program. He's written a newer book. It's called Aliens in Ancient Egypt, and I talked to him a little bit yesterday. You know, we've had L.A. Marzulli on, and we've had Stan Deo on, and there's a lot of conjecture out there about where we came from, about how much involvement there has been with either extraterrestrial or interdimensional forces, and also the development of society in terms of agriculture and language. There's just so much that we don't understand out there. And I really want to recommend your book, Xavient, because what's it got, like 177 black and white pictures? It's also got 16 pages of full color pictures, and the presentation on the book, I know that you didn't actually make the book yourself, so we have to give a little props to the guys who put this thing together, but it's beautiful, Xavient. This is a beautiful, beautiful book, man. So first of all,
thank you.
Yeah.
And I want to throw in real quick, like when I do a book, it's because now they have Wiki Commons, and people just kind of contribute so many pictures, and they put it in public, you know, so you don't have to worry rights and everything as long as you credit. And so when I turned in the book, there was like 300 pictures, and I was like, all right, well, now we're going to see what they, you know, what they do. And Inner Traditions, Baron Company, this is one of the best publishers around, okay. And they did a fantastic job.
Hey, Xavient, I'm going to pause you right here because our connection is really, really bad. Could you do me a favor, and could you call back on the 866-37-TRUTH line, or 866-378-7884, and we'll see if I can get you a better connection that way, because you're real grainy, and I don't want people to miss what you're saying.
866-TRUTH?
866-378-7884. Try that number, and we'll see.
7884. Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Try that one. Hang up quick, and then dial me back, and then I'll see if I can get you on with a better connection, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes that's how it works here. We have to keep trying until we get a better connection with Xavier, because I don't want anybody to miss. I'm telling you, this guy's research and this book is out of sight. And so I want to make sure we get an opportunity to hear what the gentleman has to say. And for that, we need a clear connection. So we're going to hope that he can dial us back at 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. You guys could write that number down. For the most part, I try and do everything I can to keep an eye on the chat room and on the phone board. So if you guys are able to call in during the show, it'll pop in there. And, you know, if you have comments about the articles we're going over during the news, I always try and, like, kind of leave that stuff open. We'll see if we can get him back on the board here, just keeping an eye on things. Appreciate you guys having some patience this morning. Again, you know, we're still trying to get everything back together in terms of technology and in terms of we had some pretty bad hacking attempts going on a while ago. Let's see if this is Xavier. Xavier, are you back, sir? Let's see if we can hear him. Oh, man, we are having a really horrible connection, brother. You just say something.
I don't know why.
I don't either. It's awful. It is absolutely awful.
It's the match phone. I don't know. Kind of. Sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it sounds crap. I don't know.
Yeah, it literally sounds like you're speaking to us from the bottom of a barrel of gravel right now. So I am not sure what we can do.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really bad. Some people in the chat room are saying that they can hear you okay. Let me ask the people in the chat room how you're coming across, because it might just be my connection to you that's bad, and I can muddle through if that's the case. So give us while we're
the birds are chirping and the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's early morning in Vegas.
Oh man,
it's the weekend, so you know.
Yeah, people in the chat room saying we're breaking up, poor connection. Do you have Skype? Are you able to hop on your Skype connection at all right now? Or are you not near your computer?
I don't have Skype at all, Like, I really don't.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to disconnect one more time and ask you to try and reconnect to that first number that we gave you, the 213 number there, and we'll just see if we can get a better connection, man. It's just going to take a second. I'm sorry for everybody out there that's struggling to go through this with us, but... It's the name of the game, modern technology. So hop in and hop back, or hop out and hop back in if you would, sir.
Gotcha.
All right. We're going to get this done, ladies and gentlemen. If not, we'll call No Joy and we will reschedule him, and I will go to his house and personally install Skype on his computer so that we don't have this issue again. Yesterday when I spoke with him, I mean, it's not like he lives in Zimbabwe or something. He lives in Tacoma, and it should be pretty normal there in Tacoma right now. So I don't know what is going on unless... he doesn't have a good cell phone connection, or unless he doesn't, the powers that be don't want us to learn any of the stuff that he's trying to get us, to learn today. So we'll see. We'll get him hop backed in, and, we'll give him one more shot here at trying to, get a good connection established. And if not, we'll just open up the phones and we'll just try to carry on throughout our Friday. Maybe this is our Friday the 13th. This is our unluck here that we're having right now. It's very possible, I suppose. Really appreciate you guys being patient in the chat room, man. There's a lot of you guys in there right now, and it's very cool. Let's see. Xavier, are you back with us, my friend? Come on. Good.
I am, but I'm not sure if it's going to sound any better.
You sound so good, my friend. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to increase your volume. You sound so much better. So I don't know if you moved to a different room or what happened. Okay, let's just hop right into it, man. Thank you very much for taking time out to join us this morning. I have my first question to you. Do you still live in Tacoma?
No, I am in Las Vegas right now.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. I was going to tell you how jealous I was of your living in Tacoma. Okay, let's start.
Oh, well, I just received a good shipment from Tacoma, so, I mean...
Oh, nice.
It will always be my hometown.
Roger
and
that.
I'm proud of it.
I'm a big fan of Seattle. Okay, let's get on track with our story here today. You've written this book, Aliens in Ancient Egypt. Let's just start with the brass tacks here, man. What do you hope that the listeners are going to take away from this book, and what led you to actually delving in and writing such an intense book? With so much detail in it.
Well, I hope the listeners will be inspired to check the book out and have an open mind to all the theories that are in there, because there's so much. It's pure craziness.
Right.
And I've been studying ancient Egypt pretty much since I was a kid. I mean, I've always been fascinated by the pyramids and the Sphinx. And, you know, anytime anything came on TV about, you know, ancient Egypt or the show In Search Of, which was very influential to me,
mm-hmm.
and I watched it, and it's just basically been a lifelong thing, and what happened was I saw The Pyramid Code by Dr. Carmen Bolter.
Right.
I'm not sure if you've seen that.
I have, yes, sir.
It's fantastic. And that just kind of took it to the next level and as far as I was concerned. And, you know, I got a hold of Carmen, and we decided to do this book together. And so we started out working on this book, and it's pretty much clear that because of Chris Dunn's book and about the lost technologies and pretty much everything, even in Pyramid Code, you know, with the megaliths and stuff, like everything had been covered except really the alien question.
Right.
So the publisher was like, well, you know, we want you guys to talk about that. And Carmen was on board. We had Graham Hancock agree to do the foreword. And we started writing it. I basically started writing it. And all kinds of craziness started happening. Like, her son died in a mysterious car. Right? She lost her job at, I think she was at University of Calgary or something. She's a professor, so.
Okay.
And all of this, she stopped, like, they wouldn't let her speak at speaking engagements anymore. All of this because of this topic, right? Because, you know, when we got her involved, it was to add legitimacy to it. And so all that happened, and just basically, you know, CIA shenanigans. We had some stuff that looked like spaceships, like, buried out in the desert, you know, just crazy satellite imagery and just
wow.
Unbelievable information. And, you know, then they would just disappear, like, hard drive would just wipe clean, like,
right.
All kinds of stuff, weird phone calls. Basically, she dropped out. She had to, like, drop out of the project, walk away, leave me hanging, you know, like, the original publisher, it was a New York publisher, I'm not allowed to say, but it was ridiculous. Like, I had to pay back more money than I even received just so I could retain the rights to this project.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And so once I finally got over all that, then I had to book, and then it was just like, come on, you know, I'm just going to stay up, right, whatever. And thankfully, Inner Traditions published it and got it out there. But yeah, it's this journey, and to speak about Akhenaten, you know, because everyone has a view of this guy.
Right.
And I just didn't see that particular view. Even Michael Vissarion, who I love, like, he didn't really even agree with what I was saying. All of this supposed dogma and information about this guy that's been, you know, passed down for 100 years or so. And I had to read just the craziest, basically everything. I should have a PhD in Aegisology. I mean, all this stuff
right.
I had to read is just ridiculous. Yeah, so, but the best part was the, because I know now, like, if the suppressed history of America, which I'm writing the sequel to that now, but, like, Wikicommons was already available, and to get images, you know, the Smithsonian image and all this crap. So it was, and then my co-author, his girlfriend is an artist, she was supposed to be doing the original illustrations, because I was like, well, we can't have pictures, you know, at least do
Xavier, can you move around again, maybe try and get to a window or something? We're having you're kind of breaking up quite a bit.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
She was supposed to do these images, illustrations for the book, and then she, you know, cause I guess, trying to shake down the publisher for money, and that didn't happen. So, you know, that's why the first book really didn't have any And by the time I did this one, the game had changed with Wikicommons and everything else. And so it made it much easier and much better to be able to put all these and see what the publisher comes up with, how they want to handle it.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure if we're just having so many technical issues here right now. I apologize, guys. I'm not sure if Xavier fell off or if he is still there.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, man. It's just getting gravelly and then we're just losing you. So I don't know if you could try and find a better position. But it's like really hit or miss right now. And I hate to keep coming back to that. But, you know, one of the things I really like about your book here is this theory of, the golden age and the, you know, the cycling of humanity and how a lot of people seem to think these days that we're basically at another apex, but you kind of don't see it that way, do you?
Nah, we're on the downside, man. We're going through the the dark silver ages, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what the ancient Egyptians understood, and whoever departed understood as well. I mean, to me, the Hades was basically the apex of civilization. You know, we've been... I mean, it just doesn't take too much to look into, like, the music now. It's so horrible. We're kind of basically going into transhumanism now. Like, the age of the human is pretty much gone. Now, and back in the day, the cyclical events, which the ancient the world, the ancient cultures understood, you know, they understood the rise of the dark age, the golden age, the precession, you know, every 26,000 years, the turnings, they understood all of this. And I think that's kind of what the main purpose of the especially during the last, before the flood, was to, you know, with the crystals and the water and the way everything was machine. And I don't think it would be a machine for destruction like a star or anything, you know, like that. I think it had to do with making sure mankind's consciousness, you know, to keep us in the creative state, because we're creative beings.
Right.
We're supposed to be in tune with nature. And I believe that's kind of what the pyramid fill was for. And even before, which is the Septepi, right, which is
I gotta pause you again, brother. We're having the worst, absolutely the worst communication right now. I cannot hear a thing you're saying, and I don't know really what to do about it. Are you moving around quite a bit, or is there a way you could get? I'm not trying to pigeonhole you here, but is there a way you could get back to where you were when you first made the call? It was really good right off front, and then all of a sudden everything's just going bad.
I don't know. I mean, I was. Get back to where I was.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not trying to make you run around your apartment, but I just...
No, it's fine. I mean, in worst case, I'll find next week or whatever. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I think we may have to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And I apologize, guys, out there, because I really want people to hear what it is you're saying, and we're just not able to get hardly any of it right now. So I think we may call No Joy. I'll try and get in touch with you again. We're about ready to go to break. So while I'm at break, I'll give you another call, and I'll see if I can do a direct call to your phone again, and maybe I can get you better on that way. But just bear with us here, guys, as we try and work through this. If not, we'll definitely try and get you back on here at, you know, post haste, as fast as we possibly can, and I will personally come to your house and install Skype onto your computer so we don't have this issue again. So just okay, so I'm gonna let you go for just a second here, and then
All right, cool.
I'm gonna give you a call. We got about a minute left before we go to the breaks, and then I'll come back and we'll try and get a hold of him again. I'm really sorry, guys. Sometimes, you know, for the last, we've been on for about a few months now, we haven't really had any major issues, but just every once in a while, you know, we get a bad connection, or potentially some of the information that's coming out isn't something that they want to get out. And you know, we've had that happen on a couple of different occasions. We start bringing up some of these points, and all of a sudden things just kind of go to hell. So we're going to go to the 3-minute break. I will do my best to try and get back in touch with Xavier, and maybe we can pick this thing up again. Appreciate you guys all having patience out there. And if not, we'll just open up the phones. We'll go back to some news. There's plenty of stuff that we can talk about today. So just bear with us here, guys. We'll be right back. Keep it right here. Okay.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Lit Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the Ladio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I did my very best. I really, really did to try and get a hold of Xavier. I do not know what is going on with his cell phone connection right now. So we are just going to have to reschedule him for a later date. I apologize to all of you guys who are excited about getting some information from him. I do really still want to recommend his book very highly, The Aliens in Ancient Egypt. It's a beautiful, beautiful presentation, a lot of great information in it. And so I suppose, since we only have one segment left, we'll just go ahead and open up the phone lines and we'll talk about whatever it is that you guys want to talk about. I'm going to try and get back into a little bit of news here just kind of while we're winding down the day. Of course, it is Friday. I hope you guys are staying safe out there on this Friday the 13th. I'm not really that worried about it, but apparently we've already had our bout of bad luck for the day in our connection to Mr. Xavier Hayes. So I apologize again for all of you guys out there who are looking forward to that today. We'll do our best to get him a Skype connection next time, and we'll do our best to get him back on the show as soon as possible. So that is what is going on right now. I'll give you guys a heads up on guests for next week because it is going to be a pretty big week next week. Obviously, right now, big stuff in the news, and we can talk about this here in a few seconds, but the FCC yesterday released their proposal, the nearly 400-page proposal for net neutrality. The gauntlet has been thrown down, and so we'll probably have a lot to talk about regarding that and regarding some of the changes that are going to be taking place. It's pretty obscure. It's pretty vague. I'm not going to lie. It's really difficult to see which way the wind is going to blow in relation to this new FCC guideline for net neutrality. But lucky for us and lucky for all of you guys out there, Chris Kitsy will be joining us on Monday show. So on Monday show, Chris Kitsy obviously is the owner and the founder of UnseenAndSeen.is, fantastic social networking site that is very much unlike Facebook, and that you can keep your information private, and really do like that. But at the same time, we're going to have to talk a little bit about some of the imposing rules that are going to be coming down from the FCC in relation to net neutrality going forward. And I'm sure Chris Kitsy will have a lot to talk about in that respect. On Wednesday, John Perkins is going to be joining us next week. He has written the books Confessions of an Economic Hitman and also another book called Hoodwinked. Hoodwinked is the economic hitman revealing why the global economy imploded. And I'll tell you what, I believe that Mr. Perkins probably, if he had heard Jen Psaki saying that we've got this long-standing policy of non-intervention in Central and South America, I would imagine that he probably found that to be fairly amusing as well. So definitely recommend checking out Wednesday's show with John Perkins. Andrew Gause is going to be in on Friday. We'll try and get to the bottom of everything that's going on with this crazy economy. Who knows what will happen before then? I mean, the next week, golly, who even knows what's going to happen? So lots of big shows next week. The week after that, Daniel Estulin will be back on the show. Clint Richardson is going to be back on the show the following week. L.A. Marzulli as well. So lots and lots of good stuff coming up. Even Jim Willey is going to be joining us coming up later this month. So I'm always just astounded by the quality of guests that Fletch and Robert are able to bring to the program. These guys work so hard behind the scenes, and you guys need to thank them profusely, because without them, none of this would possibly be possible. So if anybody wants to call in, again, phone lines are open, 866-37-TRUTH. Anything you guys want to talk about from the news today or guests that are coming up, if you guys have any indication as to what happened there in Las Vegas with the cell phones today, would certainly like to know about that. Was there potentially a solar flare or something going on? Or as someone in the chat room suggested, were the signals being blocked from Area 51? I'm not sure if Area 51 is even really that involved with doing stuff like that anymore, but I guess you never really know. Okay, let's jump over into some news while we wait for anybody who would like to call in. Again, 866-37-TRUTH line is open right now. Scientists in Australia have apparently developed a new groundbreaking bionic heart. And this is pretty interesting, although I find the story to be interesting because it's just being broken right now. And I was under the impression that Dick Cheney, a number of years ago, already had a bionic heart, which means that he did not actually have a heart beat for a very long time, which is kind of scary, really, if you think about Dick Cheney. But it does look like the developers of this new bionic heart have made this one even better than the last one that Dick Cheney had. Apparently, this is again a the mechanism at its core is pretty simple. It's just got a spinning disc with blades on each side that pumps blood around the body and the lungs. It does not actually beat. So in other words, the user of this bionic heart would not actually have a pulse. But some of the cool things about this is that that blade, as it's turning, is actually being suspended by magnets. So there isn't any friction in this this particular bionic heart. It looked kind of like a carburetor, to be honest. It's a pretty hunky metal affair. But they are moving into clinical trials here in the next few months. They've already been using it inside of sheep as far as the animal testing goes. But again, I thought that Dick Cheney already had one of these fancy bionic hearts. Hey, cool. We're going to go back to the phone lines real quick because Fran is saving me from sitting here talking to myself. So let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller from North Carolina. You are back on the air. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness, JD. I didn't expect to do that. I have 2 points for you. I was enjoying the conversation you were having with your guests, and I felt bad that they weren't able to stay on longer, for that matter, because I was getting really interesting.
Right.
One, given I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, what you said, outside of the notorious 51 that's out there, there's also, depending on how far away they reside from, like, downtown with the casinos and all that stuff, you have a large casino that's like a shape of a pyramid or whatever.
Right.
Well, having been out there for a visit many, many years, a friend of mine at the time went into that place.
Okay.
And fouled up. It's not even silly, J.D., reason being that it's designed to be like a maze on the inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the bad part is that even though they have it as a decorative, touch on the inside of that, casino, they have an obelisk on the inside.
Oh, right.
Directly in the center. Now, for someone who does energy work, you
on the inside of a pyramid beneath the apex. Never.
Why?
This is going to cause a... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, why is that? Could you extrapolate on that a little bit? Because I think a lot of people out there probably have never even paid attention to what an obelisk is, to be honest, you know?
Well, it's like the top of a pyramid, mm-hmm. or a pyramid itself, and it has an extension going from the bottom of it straight down.
Right. There's one outside of Washington, D.C.
Whatever. Bingo, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it. And you have, when you put that beneath the apex of a, basically causing a conflict of flow of vibration, energy, whatever, frequency. There's a conflicting back draft, whatever you call it, of the energy flow. Thing. An obelisk is another.
Really?
So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at that at all. Hmm. And quite frankly, it's intentional.
Well, that's
from what I gather.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. I wonder about, you got to wonder about what's going on in Las Vegas, because if there was ever going to be a hotbed of, I don't really want to say satanic activity, but, you know, worldly behavior and things like that, I mean, it's a pinnacle on the planet at this point of ill will and ill intent, you know?
Definitely. I would have to agree with that. Also, one quick thought for you regarding that gold heist that occurred on 95 going through North Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I find curious about that is that when I went to do a little bit of research and contacted the sheriff's office over in Wilson, who was basically handling a fiasco, if you want to call it that, one, you do not use a diesel truck. Two, you generally use an armored vehicle for that, regardless of where it's coming from or going to, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And three, there are obviously known, if you look at any traffic map via that state or whatever online, you will see where they have traffic cameras, which are obviously all over the highways and, you know, roadways.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Now, at the point where that occurred, supposedly, which is just before I-40 springs off of 95 going northward.
Okay.
There is a gap of where there are no cameras at on that roadway of 95, where that was supposed to have occurred.
Really? Coincidentally. Coincidentally.
Interestingly enough.
Right.
Now, past that point, there are no traffic cameras till you get to where, what is the name of that road that joins across 95 to go into Wilson? I can't think of it right now. But then there's another traffic camera. Now, obviously, if there was a heist or whatever, those folks would have already hopped on 40 and took it straight over to the West Coast by now.
Right.
If that was the case. Because you got a straight shot on 40 on a cross. Now, what's really funny is that there were two stories that went out, one on national news and one on the local, that on the national news that there was a mechanical error.
That's right.
Or something happened with the pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one story. Now, on the local news story, they're talking about that, that the passenger that was accompanying the driver was suffering from motion sickness, and they had to stop and pull off the road so they can wipe themselves or whatever.
What?
You know, joking, that was a local news heading about that.
Okay.
That was a local report about that.
Well, that's kind
of... Now, I know there's something funky going on as far as being an inside job goes.
Oh, well, I mean, there's no question. I mean, again, so was your initial investigation showing that they were not in an armored vehicle? They were just in some sort of diesel truck? Is that what I understood?
News outlet. They showed a truck, not a armored truck that you generally see going by banks or whatever the case is, financial institution. Diesel truck.
Hmm.
Period. When I saw that, I thought, okay, there's the red lights are going off in my head. Okay, what is wrong with this picture? Because nobody, I don't care how much, I mean, you have different sizes of gold bars.
Right.
For crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to use, you're going to have a lot of space on that diesel truck, you know, that's left over. With what they claimed was the amount of gold bars that was on that truck. per shipment.
Okay. My thing is, I don't understand why the people would have gotten out of the armored vehicle or the diesel truck in the first place. You know, there's never been any indication of what actually happened to prompt them to get out of their truck. Because I thought the whole goal of those trucks was that you're basically driving around in a bank vault and you don't have to get out.
No exactly.
What happens, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And you do not stop.
Right.
You do not stop. They have to make sure the lack of fuel in that vehicle. Mm-hmm. That there has to be appointed locations for fueling, if there is. But generally, there is supposed to be an appropriate amount of fuel to get that vehicle from one spot to from spot A to spot B.
Well, the very
there is no
the very fact that you said that they actually stopped in the one location on that highway where there were not, you know, traffic cameras, that's pretty significant. To
exactly.
Me.
I mean,
and we're talking about the 11th largest gold heist in history. You know, and 275 pounds of gold, that's a lot of gold. That's not something you're just going to grab a duffel bag and fill up. I mean, you're talking about multiple trips to and from the truck, to the van, all under the cover of, how do you know that there's not going to be somebody driving by witnessing that scene? I mean, the entire thing would have had to have been controlled very, very, very intently, I think.
In fact, the sheriff's office in Wilson and asked them very point blank, what's going on with the traffic cameras? It's supposed to be for traffic control. How is it that they did not record anything about that incident, for that matter? So, well, there was no traffic camera. I said, excuse me, but when you look at the map, on a given state, they showed traffic cameras.
Right.
If they're not for traffic control, then what are they being used for?
Mm-hmm.
They transferred me to the media department.
Right.
And they wouldn't answer the question.
Hmm.
So, too many questions that were going on with that. And I'm like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, there's just no way, and there's no way it could not have been an inside job. I mean, with all the details that have come out, and especially you doing some background research on it, there's just no way that wasn't an inside job. So who do you think took it, you know, if you had to lay some speculation out?
I think that was set up from the beginning since it's originated in Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, one of the officers that supposedly talked to the driver and the passenger basically used the word policia, which is Spanish.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, that's according to the local news.
Ooh, that's it.
And so, yeah. So that left a lot of questions in my mind about, okay, so right now they're enjoying themselves. Not to mention the fact that supposedly the vehicle that they had loaded gold was a white van.
Right.
A white service van? Yeah, they can load it that way, but who's to say that color van to start with after they left that scene?
Right. I don't know. I mean, it looks suspicious to me, Fran, I'll tell you what. And the bottom line is that I'm not anti-corruption. I just want more opportunity to participate in it. If we're going to have rampant wall-to-wall corruption and we're not going to be able to stop it, that's fine. You know, fine. Let's do that. But at least give us normal people an opportunity to participate in it. You know what I mean? Maybe that's not Maybe that's not the right attitude, but it's Friday attitude, I guess.
Yeah. Well, JD, it's hilarious because, I mean, if they have travel cameras that basically ID your license plate, ID who you are in the vehicle, whenever you go past one of those things, and possibly ID whenever you stick a bird up at them, I mean, how in the world can that going on?
How did you know
it was a white vehicle?
Yeah, I mean, it's not plausible. To me, it's the same excuse as we can't find Lois Lerner's emails because her laptop crashed, you know? I mean, the patent ridiculousness, or I don't know if you heard the opening volley this morning from Jen Psaki talking about Venezuela. I mean, the culture of fabrication that exists with this administration and in the media and everything else is just astounding to me. I don't even know where to look for truth anymore, you know, to be honest, Fran.
That's because there's so many false flags going on, and to keep people in whichever way, and from the real things that are going on, which could be now two or three or more, it's like, whoops, where did that come from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you look at...
It's going to be a...
looking at what happened in France.
Yeah, go ahead.
Over the week, too, we had that massive jewelry heist. So we have one article saying, oh, we've got 10,000 troops on the street of France, you know, protecting key infrastructure. And then, oops, we are so stupid. We just lost $9 million in jewels and art and things because the same, almost the same exact incident that just went down, you know, outside of Burgundy in France yesterday or
yeah.
the day before. That's got to be an inside job. Just has to be, you know. How could you have that much police coverage and still have something like that go down, you know?
Oh, no, no. That's a joke. Either that or the police ran on it to start off with from the beginning.
Ooh, that's definitely an option. And I think that there probably are some higher ups that are involved with this gold heist thing that happened in North Carolina as well. I think if you think that supervisors are not involved with that, I mean, somebody's got to get the itinerary out. You know, how many trucks like that are driving around? What are the options? You know, what are the statistical likelihood that they're going to have 275 pounds of gold in one? I mean, that's not a target you just acquire on the highway and say, hey, let's just go do this, Billy Bob.
But yeah.
You know, this is something
yeah.
you put
yeah.
months into planning. And that to me.
Well, that's true.
You know. Well, all right. Anything else on your mind there, Fran?
Well, just a side tidbit for you. And okay. I don't know if this would have anything related to the issue, if it has to do with the Sheriff's Department in Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
But. Pat McCrory, who is in office, the governor here in North Carolina, apparently he's getting changing, of all things, now this sounds really lame and hokey, the labeling of a roadway in Wilson, I couldn't tell you, to change the road, the numbering of the roadway, from what is called 64264 to a future from the federal government. So the question is, how does that add up to this deal, or is it even connected?
Okay, let me make sure I'm understanding. You're saying that the governor there in North Carolina is essentially going to change the name of I-64, and what are they changing it to?
264, which is a split road, highway road,
okay.
to 4-5, which is a different road number, and they're getting paid to do it.
And they're getting paid by the federal government to make that adjustment, is what you're saying.
Yep.
And you're wondering why that might be.
Whether or not that has anything to do with the situation with the gold heist.
Oh, I don't know if it has anything to do with the situation with the gold heist. When I see these governments that are changing names of roads and things like that, I always want to harken back to who actually owns the infrastructure. I would imagine since your state is one of the states that's in the United States, the answer to that question is China. And China has been working very fervently across the nation to put in toll booths so that they can start getting some money back on their investment. So I was wondering if you did a little bit more research, if you would see that change to 495 will carry with it, a toll charge from now on, because that would be the angle that I would be looking at.
Excellent point. Because they've already done that to 540 already on the outer circle around Raleigh.
Right, so maybe do some research and figure out who actually owns that road, because I would imagine that most of that infrastructure, like all the infrastructure in our country, has been turned over to China, and China now working to privatize the roads and put in the toll road or
there
the toll
you go.
Booths there. So
there you go.
I don't think it has anything to do with the gold heist necessarily. I think that that was a separate issue, but that's just me.
That may be. Well, you have a great one.
You do the same. Thank you, Fran. Appreciate you being a listener. I appreciate you calling in and filling up some time here for us today.
No
we'll talk. You take care and have a great weekend, okay? All right.
Later.
Phone lines are still open, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody else wants to call in, 866-37-TRUTH. Appreciate you guys all being in the chat room right now. I know it was kind of a weird day technologically around here, and we're looking forward to getting Xavient back on probably later in the month. So hopefully we'll get that all figured out. Let's jump back onto, I did want to touch on the new FCC rules, because obviously this disclosure of the entire packet of FCC rules, I think it's bigger than 300 pages, is available now online. You can go and you can download it. But it's been a couple of weeks since the Federal Communications Commission voted to overhaul the way the broadband internet service is regulated, changing it obviously from Title I information service to a Title II telecommunications service, essentially making it a utility like the phone system, in order to enforce these net neutrality rules. So again, the 300-page order drawn up by the FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler and supported by the Commission's two Democratic members is now available for public viewing. This is perhaps the most consequential shift in internet policy in the last two decades, and it was put in place again without full public access. So even though the rules are now available for everyone to see, it does obviously remain very unclear as exactly how they will work themselves into practice. And the New York Times noted yesterday that the FCC is, quote, set to divide what is acceptable, they're set to decide what is acceptable on a case-by-case basis, and the regulations include a subjective catch-all provision requiring just and reasonable conduct. That is the language that is in this incredible FCC disclosure report, talking about net neutrality, that they, again, this subjective catch-all provision requiring just and reasonable conduct. So what exactly counts or constitutes just and reasonable conduct? Well, naturally, it will now be up to the whims of the FCC to decide. So in some ways, this is the worst part of the agency's net neutrality push. It's not even that it puts bad rules in place. It's that it installs potentially strict but ultimately vague rules and leaves FCC as the final arbiter of what is and what is not acceptable, with little to constrain its actual decisions there. So the FCC will have some guidelines, of course, but Wheeler's book-length bureaucratic proposal will surely provide legal ammunition for whatever creative interpretation the agency decides to settle on, or whatever their desires may be at any given time. Wheeler's description of how this will play out is pretty flawed, but it's also fairly instructive. He says, we don't really know. We don't really know where things go next. This is, again, Tom Wheeler speaking to the New York Times yesterday. He says, we have agreed to create a playing field where there are known rules, and the FCC will sit here as a referee and then will throw the flag. But on the contrary, under the standard set by the FCC's order, the FCC is not enforcing any known rules. It is rather roaming the field, making up rules on the spot. So imagine a game in which the referee was authorized to throw a flag for unjust or unreasonable conduct at any time players attempted a new strategy or an innovative style of play. Players might have some general sense of what would trigger a ref's particular sensibility, but we wouldn't really ever know for sure. So as a result, you can expect two things begin to happen here. Players will begin to deploy new moves more cautiously, and teams will spend more time pressuring the refs to use their wide discretion to allow certain types of play, probably at the same time arguing that their opponents' signature plays are out of bounds. So this is, again, more or less what we can expect in the wake of the FCC's new rules. Internet service providers will probably invest in and innovate more cautiously, knowing that the FCC has power to veto over their decisions, and armies of expensive telecom lawyers will now spend their days arguing about what exactly constitutes just and reasonable in a wide variety of circumstances. As telecom analyst Roger Entner told the Times, he said telecom lawyers in Washington popped the corks on champagne when these rules were passed, because there will be at least 100 million in billable hours for these telecom lawyers. He also says this is going to go on for a long time. So that's kind of where we're at with this whole FCC thing right now. Really appreciate you guys being on board today. We are just about out of time. Just can't tell you guys how much I appreciate y'all hanging out with me for the 2 hours. It is Friday the 13th. Please stay safe out there. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. Keep your head on a swivel. You never know what's going to happen coming down the pike. So appreciate you guys being here. Love seeing all of you guys. Bag of Chips, Eric in Oregon, Jim Mischief, my father's in there, Poet, PRC News, Robert's Girl, Woodwolf, and Robert, also Firmagang, I don't know how to pronounce your name, but appreciate all you guys being in the chat room. You guys take care, stay tuned, Truth Frequency, Roger Sales Show is coming up next, Sovereignty and the Secrets of the Universe, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it right here, wherever you are, make a TFR. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.